accession number 17839, reel 1.
Mr. Savell, reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Twickenham.
Which year was this?
1922.
Did you grow up and have your education in Twickenham?
Yes.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
Did you get a job?
Yes, straight away.
Doing what?
Well, working in a grocer's shop.
Were you doing that kind of thing when war broke out?
No, I was working for Aston Martins, which was on war work.
What kind of war work was that?
Well, making parts for planes.
Can you tell me some details about the job, please?
Well, brackets and things like that. It was not very large things they were making.
Did you know what kind of planes they were going on?
No, no idea, no.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes, I did, yes.
Under what circumstances?
Well, I was at home with my mother and father, and it came through on the radio.
How did you feel about the war declaration?
Well, being young, I wasn't too alarmed. I would if I heard it now.
Did the war affect you at first?
No, not really.
Did you just continue in the job?
Yes.
When did the war start to affect you?
When I got my calling up papers.
Had you been, before that, when did the calling up papers come?
I can't remember, I was about 18 then. And I had to go up for medical, and they asked you which you wanted to do, the RAF, Navy, or the Army. And I wanted the Navy.
Had you been in any bombing by the German Air Force before that?
Yes.
Can you tell me about it, please?
Yes, it was one very bad raid on Twickenham. And my friend and I were out. We went into a pub. And as we came out and shut the door, the pub flew, dropped down. It was hit by a bomb. So we were very lucky that we weren't injured.
What damage did the bomb do?
Well, it damaged the pub quite a lot. It was never used again as a pub.
Do you remember its name? Or which street it was on?
I was in Staines Road. It's called the Cherry Tree now. The Exchange, it was called. Yes.
Were people killed and injured?
Yes. Yes.
What do you know about the casualties?
Well, we went and phoned for an ambulance, but of course they were a long time coming because there was quite a lot of work that night. And it was all night bombing. Twickenham Green was one mass of incendiary bombs that they dropped in a cluster.
Do you know the date of this about?
Oh, no, I can't remember the date at all.
What injuries did you and your friend have?
We didn't have any injuries, we were very lucky.
Were you shaken very much?
Yes, we were really. The blast sort of just shoved us away from the pub sort of thing, but not injured in any way.
This must have been 1940, I think.
Yes, it would be 1940, yes.
What season of the year was it? Was it summer or autumn or what?
I think it'd be autumn, yes.
Did you see any of the casualties?
Yes.
Were you able to give any help?
Only that we arranged for to get the ambulance there, and there was one man hanging out of the window, and I, sorry about that, realised later that he was blind. He was blinded by the bomb.
Was he crying for help?
Yes.
Was anybody able to give him any?
No.
What was the attitude towards the German Air Force in those days by the population?
We hated them. Yeah. I mean, they weren't bombing military targets, they were just dropping their bombs anyway.
Was that the only bombing incident you were in before you joined up?
Yes, yes.
Did the Twickenham area get many bombs in the place?
No, not a lot. They got the flying bombs later on, but that was just the one bad raid they had.
Why did you choose the Navy?
I love the sea. I mean, when I was a boy, I used to go down and always get out on a boat out to sea, you know, if I had a chance.
Was it easy to get in the Navy?
Yes, yes.
What happened once you got your call-up papers? Can you take me through it?
Yes, we were on the... It was in March. I was called up and I went to Collingwood, HMS Collingwood at Hemps, and did 12 weeks training, seamanship training.
Where is HMS Collingwood?
It's in Hampshire, not far from Portsmouth.
What was this first training like?
Very, very strict. The discipline was really hard and the training was very difficult, because you had to get a lot in a short time.
How were you treated by the people in charge?
Well, we weren't used to such strict discipline, so we thought it was pretty hard. But if you behaved yourself, there was no trouble, you got through okay.
Did you feel resentful about the way you were treated?
Yes, a little bit we did, yes. Especially regarding pay. We were paid the nearest 10 shillings and you're paid fortnightly. So one fortnight you get 10 shillings, the next one you get a pound. And out of that you had to buy all your gear.
So was your annoyance about the amount or about how it was paid?
Yes, the amount really, yes.
How much had you been getting in service trade?
About £8 a week.
So what type of things did you have to go without?
Well, you couldn't go ashore too often, because once one night ashore and you were broke for the rest of the time.
What type of things did you learn in the training?
Well, we learnt to look after ourselves for one thing, look after our equipment and do our own washing and mending, which I couldn't do before I went in the Navy.
Can you give some examples of what you had to learn?
Well, apart from the seamanship and looking after your kit and ironing and cleaning all your gear, which your mother had done previously, we found that a bit hard.
What type of things were you trained to do aboard ship?
Well, splicing, wire splicing, rope splicing, gunnery, or the knots and bends.
Did you find that all this type of thing was necessary once you got going?
Oh yes, it was very necessary.
What was the next step in your training?
Well, after the training we were sent up to Kingswear in Devon on MTBs, which we used to do all night patrols.
these MTBs like?
They're very good. They're very fast, and they're very not a lot of room on them. You had to go ashore to have a bath.
Which MTB were you in?
118.
118?
Yes, 118.
Can you tell me about the composition of the crew, please, and what each of them would do?
Well, you had to take a turn on the wheel and look out and on the gun. You only had one Oerlikon gun and 21-inch torpedoes. So we had a fireman used to do the torpedoes and seamen used to run the ship. Somebody had to do the cooking, so you would have to take a turn at that.
How many officers were aboard an MTB?
Two. First lieutenant and a commander.
What jobs were you doing aboard ship?
The seamanship, keeping it clean, painting, steering when we were out at sea. It was very difficult steering because it was so dark. You had to follow the ship ahead.
Did MTBs always go out in groups?
Yes, yes. About seven of us went out together, and it was all night patrols. We never went out during the day at all.
Where did you patrol?
Well, all around the coast, Cornwall and Devon.
Did you go far out to sea?
No, I don't think so, about 4 or 5 miles.
Did you ever run into the enemy?
Yes, a couple of times, yes, the E-boats, which we try to avoid. Because we couldn't outgun them, they could outgun us, speed and gun size. So we chose to get away as quickly as we could.
What happened on the occasions when you ran into them?
Well, they opened fire and we had to return the fire. But I don't really know what happened because it sort of ended as quickly as it started.
Did you ever fire the torpedoes?
No.
Did you actually see the boats?
No, not actually see them. You could hear them.
How did you like this work, going out on patrol?
Well, we didn't mind, but it was a bit awkward because you had to sleep during the day after you'd done your work and then be prepared to go out again at night.
Did you go out every night?
Yes. Yes. I think it was something to do with the radar gap, that we were coastal command and coastal protection. I think because they couldn't cover that area. I think we were there just for that.
Was it boring or interesting work?
It was a bit boring after time, because sometimes it was very rough, and it wasn't very pleasant. They used to roll and pitch about quite a lot.
What was discipline like aboard MTBs?
It was relaxed a little bit on the MTBs, not so much as we had when we were in training. We all had our job to do and we had to do it, but you know, if you did your job, there's no problems. The officers were quite friendly. Discipline was relaxed a little bit.
In what specific way might it be relaxed?
Well, they'd speak to you as a man and not as a underdog like some of the officers used to.
Was that common in the Navy, to speak to you like an underdog?
Yes.
Can you give an example?
Well, we had a... On our LCR, we had a Jew. He was a Jewish first lieutenant. And he thought he knew everything, and actually he knew nothing at all. And he used to tell us to do something that was quite the wrong way to do it, but we knew the correct way to do it. We didn't like him at all.
So that must have presented you with a dilemma if you What did you do? Did you do it the way you thought or the way he thought?
We usually did it the way we thought in the end. Now, we were in for a slight refit, and the ship was in a bit of a mess, and we were clearing up, ready to go to sea again. And on the quarter deck was a fog boy, and he said, "Throw that over the side." So we threw it over the side, and he said, "What was it?" I said, "It was a fog boy. "What was that supposed to do?" I said, "You let it out on a rope a long way, and the ship astern can follow it." And he said, "Well, why did you throw it over? Could you told us to?" He did like that very much. But you always obey the last order in the Navy. You don't question it. But you'd be annoyed over that.
So did that mean that he didn't know what the thing was?
I'm sure he didn't. No, he didn't know. No. There's lots of things he quoted that it wasn't a Navy term and that, and coil that bit of rope up and things like that. You know, he used the wrong words. I don't think he'd had any experience at sea at all when he came on, and so we didn't like him very much.
What should you say instead of coil that rope up?
Well, it all depends on the rope. Cheese it and things like that, you know. Keep it in a nice order.
To cheese means to coil?
Mm. Yeah.
What's the name of rope in the Navy?
Well, hemp. Mostly hemp.
So you should have said, "Cheese that hemp"?
That's right, yes.
How long were you doing the MTB work for?
Not too long. You didn't stay on them very long because they were so small. About 7 months.
Whilst you were doing it, were there any air attacks on the base on Kingsway?
No, not that we knew of, no.
Did you have any contact with the college at Dartmouth?
Yes, yes. We had to go up there for medical treatment. I had to go up for a dental treatment at one time. A very fine dentist he was too.
Do you mean that? Or are you being sarcastic?
No, no, I mean it. He was very, very good. I mean, I never felt the teeth coming out at all.
So, where were you drafted to then?
Well, then we were sent back to a place called Calshot, just off of Southampton. And when there was a few hundred of us there, they gave us a bag of dry sandwiches, put us on the train, and we went right through to Scotland. And when we arrived at Scotland, we went on tender, and it took us out to the Queen Mary, which was anchored about 10 miles off. And in the morning, we woke up, and we were underway. We knew where we were going then. We were going to America.
What was the voyage like?
Excellent. The Queen Mary used to steer a zigzag all the way over because of submarines. And it was Yankee catering, so the food was excellent. And it took 7 days to cross because she just cut a British cruiser in half on the in journey, and they filled it up with concrete, the bow, and sent us back to Boston for dry dock. We landed at Boston and we embarked the following day, and then we had to assist getting the Queen Mary into dry dock, which we did. And the hole then, you wouldn't believe, you could have got a trolley bus in it, it was so big. That's why she took 7 days instead of 5.
So this was the autumn of 1941?
Yes.
I think the name of that cruiser was the Curacao, was it?
I never knew the name. I know it there weren't many survivors. It was hushed up a lot till after the war. The chap, one of the crew, was down in D-deck, that's just above the engine room, and he didn't know it had done it. It just sliced straight through. He was doing about 19 knots, and he never felt a thing.
When you say we went across the Atlantic, who were you with? Was it some organised party?
Well, it was the about 500 or 600 naval ratings. There was RAF ratings and Canadians and war brides going over to America. It was a mixed lot.
Did you know what you were going to America for?
Yes, yes. They told us when we got there to Scotland that we were going over to commission LCIL landing craft.
LCIL. Can you explain what LCIL
is? Large. It had LC small boats which went in the main attack on a beaching. They were very small and carried about 20 troops, but we carried 400.
We should say LCI means Landing Craft Infantry.
Yes. Yes.
So you were now in combined operations?
That's right, yes.
What happened to you once you got to Boston?
Well, from Boston we were in a barracks, American barracks, for a month, and then we were put on a train and sent to New York, Flushing Avenue. That was another American barracks, and we were there for a while. Then we were sent to Newark, New Jersey, where we commissioned the ship.
How did you have much contact with the American population?
Yes, quite a lot, yes.
How did they treat you?
Very well, very well. Yes, they used to invite us to their homes, and for a weekend sometimes, and they were very, very nice people.
Did you go to anybody's home?
Yes, yes, yes.
What happened?
Well, the one I went to, they had three daughters, 14, 16 and 18. It was very nice. But they were very nice people, and we went to their church and we sang in their choir. And they, after the service, we had a meal with them and we stayed the night, and they took us back to our ship the following morning.
Where was this?
This was at Boston. I say ship, it was a barracks actually, because we hadn't commissioned ship then.
Was America in the war by then?
No, no. When we arrived and we were up on the top deck on the Queen Mary and looking out to all the amazing lights, you know, after the blackout, it was actually amazing. And, you know, there was no blackout there at all.
Did they make any comments about the war?
Yes, some of them did, about Dunkirk, that we were chased out of Dunkirk. But there's very few people, just one or two.
Was that taken amiss?
Hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Did it cause any trouble?
Well, fights, yeah.
Did you get into fights?
I didn't, no, not personally, but some of my friends did.
Can you tell me what happened at Newark, New Jersey, please?
Yes, well, we commissioned a ship, and then we had to take her out for sea trials, swinging the compass and getting it seaworthy.
Which was your LCIL?
169, yes.
Can you tell me what they looked like and what they consisted of?
Yes, they were rather narrow, about 8 foot wide, 32 foot long, and they had two ramps either side of the decks, which were pulled out on a cat's eye, ready for the troops to go down. So then they were pulled out on a winch and then dropped once we hit the beach.
What's a cat's eye?
Well, no, it's a cat's whisker, I'm sorry. It's a bar that we... It was folded in, and then we had it out straight so the wires could pull the ramps out. They weighed about 2 ton, they're very heavy.
Were there many facilities aboard for the crew?
Not really, no. We had a... It was American... put the food in for the journey, and they had a freezer which was some very nice food, and pork and bacon and all sorts of things, fresh fruit and tin fruit, which we'd never seen before. And when we got back to England, eventually we had a £300 mess bill to square up. We'd overeaten. So it was very nice.
What did the crew of this LCIL consist of?
Well, there were 7 seamen and 7 engine room staff, stokers, motor mechanics. And we had a coxswain, and he was in charge of the port watch, and I was second coxswain in charge of the starboard watch.
What did being in charge of the starboard watch mean?
Well, delegating work and being on the wheel when the ship's going into harbour, port.
Were you in charge of discipline at all?
Oh yes, yeah.
What was discipline like amongst your crew?
It was quite friendly. I mean, they were a really good crew. We got on very well. One or two odd ones, you know.
Where did the crew come from?
All over the place. Yorkshire, Liverpool, Wales. They were a mixed crew. We got on all right with them.
And how many officers were in this type of boat?
Two officers, and if we were going on a long journey, we had 3 navigational officer.
Who were the officers in this case?
Well, the first lieutenant and the lieutenant commander.
Can you tell me about them?
Well, the skipper was... We really respected him. He knew his job, and he was very thorough. And the first lieutenant, well, nobody ever liked first lieutenants because they were a bit on the bully side. Jimmy the One, they used to call them.
Was that general in the Navy?
Yes, yeah.
Any incidents that happened to you in Newark?
Not in Newark, no. Except that we were there... I'd say sea trials, and then we went up to Norfolk, Virginia, where we left there to bring the ships back. There's 36 ships in the flotilla. We were the leader. We had Lord Stanley on board. He was in charge. He was a commander. We left Virginia. And we had to go to... Oh dear. Bermuda. Yeah, we had to Bermuda. And when we left left America to go to Bermuda, we were caught in a 3-day storm. And it was the worst storm I've ever experienced. It's really bad. We had 4 days there.
Was any damage done to the boats in the storm?
Not damaged, no. It was just that the things got turned up a bit. The galley couldn't be used. It was a wash. So we didn't have any food. And you couldn't go out on deck unless you were tied with a rope.
Had America come into the war by then?
No.
Well, America came into the war in early December 1941.
Yeah.
So it sounds as though it's still 1941.
Well, probably they had by that time then. I can't remember.